Well, I'm going to be sharing today on unmasking Satan. John chapter 3, verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. So I've read that scripture. We've all read that scripture so many times, but I was thinking Satan views that scripture opposite to how we view it. How he views it is like this. For Satan so hates the world that he hates the Son of God. So I'm taking it word for word, but I'm flipping it. He hates the Son of God and hates everyone who believes in the Son of God. For Satan despises God who sent his Son into the world to save the world and despises that people may be saved through Jesus. Now, a lot of people, unfortunately, don't believe that Satan even exists, which is Satan's greatest strategy. He loves the fact that people believe he doesn't even exist. Because if you really believe that Satan exists, you would see that there's a threat out there. You maybe don't know too much about the threat, but you are aware that there's a threat out there. And some people that do believe that Satan exists don't really know what his strategies are. And in life, it's important for you to know who your enemy is. Nationally, we need to know who our enemies are. In business, you need to know who your competitors are, your enemies, because they want to crush you, right? They want to put you out of business. In sports, it's important to know who your competitors are, who your enemies are, because they want to beat you. They want to knock you out. They want to embarrass you. And in the kingdom of God, it's important for us to know who our enemy is, Satan, and what his strategies are to destroy you, to kill you, to steal from you. And that's what Satan does. Jesus said in John 10:10, the thief, Satan, does not come except to steal, to kill, and to destroy your life. But Jesus says, I've come that you may have abundant life. Amen. God wants us to have an amazing life, an abundant life, a life full of grace, love, peace, fulfillment, satisfaction, purpose, destiny. But Satan wants to rob us of that. He comes to steal. What does he come to steal? He comes to steal your innocence. He comes to steal your joy, your childhood, your health, your finances. He comes to kill. He comes to kill your dreams, your family, your children, your spouse. He comes to destroy your family, your business, your health, your purpose, your destiny, your friends, your family, your nation, your community. So I'm here today to encourage people, don't be a pawn for the devil, be a weapon for God. Don't let Satan manipulate you, use you for his means. Submit yourself to the Lord and allow the Lord to use you for his kingdom purpose. Whatever God loves, Satan hates. And whatever God values, Satan despises. So let's read what Ephesians chapter 6, you might be thinking, or maybe not you guys watching us online. Pastor, what are you smoking? This is all fantasy. But let's look at what the Bible says. The Bible says in Ephesians 6, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Let's break it down. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood. Your battle is not against humans. You may think it's humans, but it's not, because the Bible says we don't wrestle. We don't fight against flesh and blood. My boss, my colleagues don't appreciate me at work. Have you ever felt that way? It's a battle. My competitors are trying to put me out of business. That's a battle. My spouse is driving me nuts. That's a battle. My kids don't appreciate me. My finances, I just can't make ends meet. It's a battle. The economy is so bad. My business isn't what it used to be. My friends always let me down. My neighbor gets on my nerves. My president is the worst ever. My car keeps breaking down. All these battles, and you get consumed with these battles. I could go there, but I'm not. That's for another topic. So these are not our battles. These are battles, but these are symptoms of the real issue at hand. It says here, we wrestle against principalities, powers, rulers of darkness of this age, spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. These are the fallen angels. These are the demons. Now, Satan in his kingdom has rank and structure. You got to give it to the guy. He's super organized. His kingdom, God's kingdom in the heavenly realm, is more powerful and more organized. But Satan's kingdom, you know, I hate to even say it, is more structured and organized than the church. I'm talking the global church. Because denominations don't want to work together. This one's putting this one down, that one's... And some people need to be called out. Some of these snowflake guys need to be gospel lights. We don't believe in healing. The last healing was in the Bible. We don't believe in speaking in a heavenly language. Well, you're going to hate heaven. Because heaven is going to be greater than your theology, right? But I was interested. I looked up a chart yesterday. Can we show the chart of the U.S. Army? We're going to throw up a chart. I'm not going to go through it. Thank you for the chart. If we can scroll it. But there's different ranks. Colonel, Major, Captain, Lieutenant. Can we do the next one? Generals, we got different types of generals. The next one. We got privates. These are the lower ranking. But there's literally like probably two dozen. I mean, we got sergeants, and there are different kinds of sergeants. So in the U.S. military and every military, there's rank and file. Everyone knows what to do. You do what you meant to do. And the guy below you and the guy above you knows that you're doing your job and relies on you doing your job, because if you're not doing your job, there's going to be chaos. If you're the guy on the radar and you look in that there's an enemy ship coming towards you and you don't notify the captain, you're all dead. You need to notify your superior. And if it's time, you know, to send the missile in the submarine, but the guys in the submarine are sleeping late that day and they haven't loaded the missiles to attack the enemy, you're all dead. So Satan knows that he needs rank and file, he needs structure, and Satan rules by fear. So his minions, his demons, follow his command. He has strategies that he's using to destroy you, to destroy your family, to destroy your neighborhood, your community, your school, your college, your business, your nation. So we need to be aware of his strategies. We need to know that these strategies exist. It's not like they're just coming up with crazy ideas here and there. No, they have conferences. They have meetings, they plot, they plan How are they going to make America crash? How are they going to make the West crash? But even on a more regional scale, they're looking, who can we put in power? Who can we put in this political situation? Who can we fund? Who can we get into the school system to be in charge of the education so that we can get our woke agenda into the school? So it's important for us to know that Satan has a strategy. Can you give me some water, Cody? Isaiah chapter 14, let's go back to the origin because we want to know who our enemy is. I want to know a little bit about my enemy so that I know how to fight my enemy. Isaiah 14, verses 12, how you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. How you are cut down to the ground, you who weaken the nations. For you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven and I will make my throne above the stars of God. So Satan was in heaven, but a thought came into his mind, why is God getting all the attention? Maybe I can be like God. Maybe I can convince the angels to help me rebel against God and we can take his power. We can rule in heaven. He said, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. That's pride. And what does the Bible say about pride? Pride comes before a fall. I will sit on the mount of the congregation on the furthest sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. He wanted to be God. Yet the Bible says, you shall be brought down to Sheol, which is hell, to the lowest parts of the pit. Those who see you will gaze upon you and consider you, saying, is this the man who made the earth tremble, who shook the kingdoms, who made the world as the wilderness and destroyed its cities, who did not open the house of his prisoners? Let's look at Ezekiel 28. God also shed some light about the origins of Satan. Verses 12, you were the seal of perfection. So imagine that. God created Lucifer and he created him perfect. You were the seal of perfection, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. We're talking perfection. Look at your spouse and say, he's talking about you. You were in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was your covering. The sardius, topaz, and diamond, beryl, onyx, and jasper, all the Jewish businessmen love these stones. I know my cousin who's a diamond dealer. He'd be salivating right now. Sapphire, turquoise, and emerald with gold. The workmanship of your timbrels and your pipes were prepared for you in the day you were created. So a lot of theologians say that Lucifer was like one of the archangels, Gabriel, Michael, Lucifer, and that he was even in charge of leading worship in heaven. That's what some people have said. We'll find out in, you know, when we're all there. Verse 14, you were anointed, you were the anointed cherub who covers. Anointed means powerful and special. Cherub means angel. I established you, which means God put Lucifer in heaven in a place of authority. He had authority. Just imagine the persuasiveness of Satan, Lucifer. He had a name change. He transitioned. He literally did. Oh my gosh. But just imagine, like, you know how I think of heaven, right? Imagine the most beautiful resort on planet Earth, right? You got mountains behind you. You got snow on the mountains. You got the beautiful ocean in front of you. Perfect weather. You got the most magnificent restaurants in this resort. You got tennis courts. You got jacuzzis. You got golf courses. You got everything your mind can conceive. And the owner of the resort meets you one day and says, "You know what? I have a special presidential suite in my resort, and it's 5,000 square feet. I want you and your family, you can live there for free forever, as long as you live. And everything in the resort is free. We got the top school. Your kids can go there for free. They can be trained by the smartest minds. But then the owner has like a 10,000 square foot villa, right? And you're there for a few months and you're having the time of your life. Everything's free. Charge it to the room. The owner takes care of it. But then you start thinking, you know, how come he has a 10,000 square foot villa? I only have a 5,000 square foot villa. You know, why should he own the whole place? Like, maybe I should be owning some of this resort. Maybe I need to cause a rebellion. I'm going to get all the staff together. I'm going to get the board members together, and we're going to try and overthrow the owner of the resort. How dumb can one person be? But isn't that what Satan did? He was in a perfect environment. He had honor, he had authority, he had prestige, but it wasn't enough. He got greedy. He got full of pride. And then, this just shows how dumb he is, he led a rebellion against God. I want to see the replay when we're all in heaven of that rebellion. It probably lasted 10 seconds. We're thinking like watching like Braveheart and Gladiator. This was like a huge, no, I think it was over in like seconds. I don't even think God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit got involved. They're like, what's he thinking? Okay, on your marks, get set. Okay, you guys ready? Go. Okay, that was, okay, Satan, go. You're going down to earth now. It was quick. But imagine that he convinced a third of the angels to rebel against God with him. So you would naturally think, why don't believers in God want to follow him 100%? And why don't people that don't believe in God and Jesus want to follow him? Because God has given us all freedom of choice. He gave the angels that he created freedom of choice. Do you know that? Because if they were created like robots to follow him, they wouldn't have rebelled against him. He gave them freedom of choice, and he's given every human being freedom of choice. Well, I have chosen to follow Jesus. When I was 20, I made that decision. Jesus, I follow you. I believe you're the Son of God. And when I made that commitment, he changed my life. And you can do the same thing. And every human being on earth has that opportunity to call on the name of Jesus for salvation. You on the holy mountain of God, you walked back and forth in the midst of the fiery stones. Verse 15, you were perfect in your ways from the day you were created. Till iniquity was found in you. By the abundance of your trading, you became filled with violence within and you sinned. Therefore, I cast you out as a profane thing, out of the mountain of God. And I destroyed you, O covering cherub, from the midst of the fiery stones. Your heart was lifted up because of your beauty. All you beautiful people, be careful to stay humble. Stay beautiful, but stay humble. You corrupted your wisdom for the sake of your splendor. I cast you to the ground, here down to earth. I laid you before kings that they might gaze upon you. You defiled your sanctuaries by the multitude of your iniquities, by the iniquity of your trading. Therefore, I brought fire from your midst. It devoured you, and I turned you to the ashes upon the earth in the sight of all who saw you. All who knew you among the peoples are astonished at you. I'm astonished, dude. Are you crazy to rebel against God? That's like when Cody and Zach were younger, I was trying to explain, you know, the fall and Satan. I said it's like the smallest little ant going up against the biggest elephant, expecting to win. It's like, get you dead. That's not even a competition. All who knew you among the people are astonished at you. You have become a horror and shall know and shall be no more forever. So Satan was cast down to earth, and as we saw the clip in the movie, he knew he couldn't attack God, he couldn't destroy God, but he wanted to get revenge on God. He wanted to get even with God. And he wanted to hurt God. So how does Satan hurt God? He went after God's creation, people. If you want to get even with the mafia boss, go after their kids. Now, I'm not saying we must do that. I'm just saying, if you can't get to the main guy, get to the kids of the main guy. So that was Satan's strategy. So Satan's trap is he's a deceiver. 2 Corinthians 1, 11 verses 14. And no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Have you ever met some of these angels of light? They seem so amazing. Pastor Jared, you're the greatest pastor ever. Your messages are changing my life, Pastor. After 4 weeks, hey, where's, no, they left. Why? No, they don't believe in speaking in tongues. Or they don't believe in this, or they don't believe in that. But I thought I was the greatest pastor in the world. I even made a cup, the greatest pastor. I'm going to have to smash that cup, but maybe it's not true. Some of you, you started dating, you know, before you met the one that you're with, you, this girl was amazing, and then after 3 weeks, it's like, And not the positive the negative, like, no. What seems like an angel can be a demon. You met someone, I've got the greatest business opportunity for you. This is going to be the next $1 billion. It's going to be huge. It's going to be massive. It's going to blow up. I just need an investment. You invest. And then the person runs away. Or the thing was a con. They deceived you. So we need to be careful of those angels of light. You need to test the waters. Charlie, one day you'll meet Charlie. I keep speaking about Charlie in South Africa. He says, when you date in a girl, this is before I met Lucinda, he says, when you date a woman, the first 6 months, you're dating her representative. It takes time to get to know someone. Now, I know some of you met your spouse, you fell in love. I've heard these stories. It might be even some people in 2 weeks later, you propose and you're married and you've been married for 30 years. That's great. That's like one in a million. It takes time to get to know people. You need to test them. Do you think I just met Lucinda and fell in love? I had to hold myself. I needed to check her out. I needed to test her. So I took her on some outreaches. I wanted to see how does she treat poor people. So we went to Beverly Hills. No, I'm kidding. We were in Africa. Okay, how does she treat these poor people? Does she greet them? Is she friendly with them? We're talking poor people in Africa. What's she like at a school? How does she treat kids? Then I took her to a convalescent home. Okay, now I'm going to see. Okay, so far, tick, tick, tick. Now, how's she going to treat the elderly? Is it like, eh? Or is it like, and she, the ones that were bedridden, she would sit on the bed next to them. She would minister to them. She would cry. I'm like, okay, she's passing the test. Now, my test was too long. It was a 5-year test. That's too long. Okay? We need to cut the test down, guys. Maybe 1 or 2 years. 2 years max. Okay? Cut that test down. Okay, cut it down. We're going to do a marriage course soon. And it's going to be a blessing. So we all know the story. I'm not going to go too much into it, but he came to deceive our great, 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 great grandparents, Adam and Eve. Genesis 3, now the serpent was more cunning than any beast in the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, has God indeed said, you shall not eat from every tree of the garden? And the woman, we forgive you, said to the serpent, we may eat of every tree of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it. Say, don't eat it. Don't touch it, lest you die. Then the serpent said to the woman, will you surely die? So he was coming to deceive. He was coming to con her. He was coming to manipulate her. For God knows in the day that you eat it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. I don't want to be God. Do you want to be God? I wouldn't want that job. Everyone praying to you, asking you for things. I mean, that's stressful. When you got kids, that there's enough requests coming in, okay? Imagine billions of requests, billions upon billions. So Satan questioned God's word and challenged Eve by saying what God has said is not true. And he keeps doing that. He keeps trying to manipulate us to take shortcuts, to cheat. He deceives you by saying that God is going to let you down, that you need to fight for yourself. He deceives you by saying God's not going to back you up. Some people even believe when Satan says to them, God gave you the sickness or disease to teach you a lesson, to teach you something. Now, what parent would break their kid's arm or give them a sickness or disease to teach them a lesson? So that's a lie. The truth is that God is good and that he's backing you up and he's given us authority. God has given us authority. And I'm going to get to that. Number two, it's important for us to know that Satan is a tempter. He tempts you. And he's been doing this for thousands of years, and he's good at it. He's mastered the art of temptation. So it's important that we don't put ourselves in a situation where we know we're going to be tempted. Like some people, before they knew Jesus, they used to drink a lot, okay? Now they receive Jesus. Satan knows drinking is a weakness of that person. So I'm going to make sure that every night they're invited to a party. I'm going to make sure that the clubs do flyer drops at their house. We need to tempt the person with alcohol. But for those that never drank, even before they followed Jesus, it's not a temptation. Maybe you never took drugs before you received Jesus. The likeliness of Satan tempting you with drugs is like zero. He's cunning. He's going to tempt you with something that you're weak at. So he's going to put you in an environment to tempt you. That's why it's so great. Billy Graham, when he was 31, he had a crusade in Los Angeles, and it was an amazing crusade, and it blew up, and a newspaper tycoon, William Randolph Hearst, got all his reporters to report on it, and then all the cities in America wanted Billy Graham. But Billy Graham sat down with his team, and they came up with a tenant, and they said, okay, when Billy travels, he mustn't travel alone. So when he would travel, there would be his like right-hand man in the room next to him, and if someone knocked on Billy's door, the right-hand man would, he'd call his, hey, someone's knocking on my door. Because what had happened before was that people tried to set up preachers. So there would be a preacher in the room, and they'd get a woman of the night to come and knock, and the photographer was ready. And as the preacher opened the door, they would push the woman in and quickly take a picture with the preacher. And the woman, it was like a setup. So they said, no, we need to protect you, Billy. And as business people, as husbands, as wives, we need to make sure that Satan can't tempt us. He can't trip us up. And sometimes Satan is very cunning. He'll wait until you're a top businessman, a top preacher, a top G. He'll be patient because he knows that you are becoming a threat to his kingdom and he needs to discredit you. Temptation means to lure, entice, decoy, tempt, and seduce. To lure implies a drawing into danger or evil or difficulty through attracting and deceiving. So Satan wants to lure you from following the Lord, from following your purpose. So you'll get to school, to college, and he knows, I got to get Johnny into this crowd of heathens who don't follow Jesus, because up until 18, Johnny's been following Jesus, raising his hands, serving in the church, being a good boy. He has a great purpose, a great destiny. Satan can see Johnny and Mary and whatever the kids' names. So, okay, they're going to go to college. Let's make sure they get a scholarship far away from home where mommy and daddy can't check up on them. Now, instead of getting a scholarship to a local college, they get a scholarship on the other part of America. Okay, now they're over there. Now let's make sure Johnny gets into a frat, a fraternal has low morals. Let's make sure Johnny gets hooked up with this person and that person. Satan is so cunning, he's trying to lure your kid away. And even in business, he's trying to lure you away. So you need to be aware of the traps that Satan is, he's either setting them for you or he's going to set it up. So when they start getting set up for you, Pastor Jared warned me about this, I'm not going to even go to that party, go to that function, go to that meeting. He tries to entice. Entice means suggest, drawing by artful means. Decoy employs alluring into entrapment by artifice, attempting to decoy the enemy into ambush. This looks like a great situation, but when you get to the situation, it's actually an ambush. Another definition of temptation is to tempt. To tempt means to implies the presenting of an attraction so strong that it overwhelms the restraints of conscience or better judgment. How many people get drawn away like that? And then seduce implies a leading astray by persuasion or false promises. So the areas of basic temptation is going to be money. He's going to tempt you with money. My pastor in South Africa always used to say, now you're in our church. Now Satan wants to get you out of our church. This is what my pastor said. So he's going to get you a job promotion in a city that doesn't have a powerful church. He's not going to send you to a city with a promotion where you can join a powerful. He'll send you to Timbuktu. He'll send you to the Bundus. He'll send you to some town where there only may be religious type churches. There's not powerful, on fire churches, because he knows that the reason you're powerful is because you're serving the Lord, you're following the Lord, you're in an on fire situation. And when you're making a fire and all the coals are together, there's heat. But if you take one of those coals and move it just half a foot away from all the other coals, it's going to get dimmer and it's eventually going to be cold. So Satan knows, I've got to pull you out of that situation and put you into that situation. So we all know how Jesus was tempted. I'm not going to go into that. Luke chapter 4, verses 4. But every time Jesus was tempted, what did he say? He said, it is written. Satan said that. His rebuttal was, it is written. Satan said, this? No. The Bible says, it is written. So that's how we fight fire with fire. When Satan comes to attack us, or tempt us, or he tries to kill us or destroy us. If you don't know the scripture, just say, Jesus, save me. Jesus, help me. And then the final thing Satan wants to do, he wants to destroy you. He's not playing games. There are no gray areas with Satan. He wants to steal from you, kill you. And not just kill you, he wants to destroy you. And even in this society that we're currently in, one of the ways they like to destroy conservative people or righteous people or outspoken people, they go after your reputation. They throw false accusations at you. When the president wants to promote you to be a judge in the Supreme Court, they throw false accusations against you. When you start speaking out against them and you start uncovering their plots and their plans and you start informing people, they're going to get people to lie about you. So let's, as believers, not be so quick to believe their lies. We need to see proof. We need to see evidence before we just believe what they say. Because there was a time in history where we believed the news. I remember back in Africa, there was only like one channel when I was growing up. So SABC, South African Broadcasting Corporation. And at 6 or 7 o'clock at night, remember Lucinda, that guy would come up and for half an hour, he would read the news. And call me ignorant, but I believed him because he was on TV. He was showing pictures. He was reporting about it. We believed him. And up until recently, across the world, we believed everything that they told us because these amazing people, journalists, they went and they studied. They studied for years. They did journalism. They know how to talk, they know how to research, and when they would get up, we would believe them. But we don't believe them no longer because these people are so persuasive. Russia collusion, remember Russia collusion? For 3.5 years, even Putin was saying, like, do any of you know anything about this? Like, did any of you try to get Donald Trump entrapped or it wasn't me. I'm like, wow, they doing our job for us. So don't just be so quick to believe everything anymore. We want to see truth. And that's why we need to have trusted voices we can trust. That's why we need Christians to rise up and be podcasters. Amen? To have their own YouTube channels, their own independent channels. That's where we're going to source our information from, because the others, you know, they've disqualified themselves. They look good. They talk great. They have a world-class production. We just don't believe anything that they say because they have a track record of lying over and over. This week, Trump was interviewed by a lady. It was so funny to watch. And she was so sweet. She started off, "Hello, Mr. President. Thank you for your time. I just have a few questions." And she spoke in the most amazing tone. I thought, wow, thank God, this is going to be good. She was vicious. She twisted everything. Didn't the Bible say Satan comes like an angel of light? And Satan has spiritual children. Do you know that? Remember Jesus said when he came up against some people that were total godless people, religious godless people, he said to them, "You like your father, the devil." So God has children, spiritual children. Satan has spiritual children. I used to be one of his children. But when I was 20 years old, I'm like, "I'm giving up on you, Satan. I don't want you ruling my life and dragging me to hell and deceiving me. I'm going to follow Jesus. I'm switching camps. I'm going from the kingdom of Satan, your kingdom. I'm going into God's kingdom. I'm going from fear to faith." So you have to get to that point in your life where you're all in. You're not 20% in, 30%. "I'm going to serve Jesus on Sundays, Easter, Christmas, and maybe on Mother's Day I'll go to church." No, if you like that, Satan's going to trip you up. He's too cunning. I'm warning you. He's so cunning. Look at even the great men and women of God that he's deceived throughout the centuries, who were God's generals. Some of them fell, and they were in his word. That's why the Bible says, meditate on the word day and night. Do all that it is written in it, and then you'll be successful. That's not just for preachers. That's for every follower. Even if you're 3 years old, be in the word day and night. Be talking about it. Be discussing it with your parents, with your peers at Connect Group. What about this? What about that? Don't be scared to ask questions. Let me finish off with Ephesians. Ephesians 6, verses 13. So what do we do when the enemy comes to deceive us, destroy us? This is what we do, Ephesians 6, 13. "Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand." Amen? "Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one." So when Satan throws his lies, his deceits, his aggression, his tricks, his traps, you put on the shield of faith. "And take the helmet of salvation." So make sure you're following Jesus. Amen. "The sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit." What does it mean to pray in the Spirit, to speak in your heavenly language? I guess some denominations deleted that out. It's right here. Being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. So these are the weapons we have. The Word of God, the shield of faith. Salvation is a weapon because when you're saved, God's angels are encamped around you. The Bible says we're seated with Christ in heavenly places above all principalities, powers, mights, and dominions. So when you go from Satan's kingdom into God's kingdom, it's not like the mafia, now they want to kill you. Yes, Satan wants to kill you. He may even tell his demons to attack you. But the Bible says you are now seated with Christ above the devil. And when Satan tries to come against you, God gives him a smack. We'll see in heaven how many times Satan tried to kill us. People tried to break into our house and they saw an angel and ran. Or someone was going to shoot us and something happened and they didn't. That's what we call divine protection. The Bible says, resist the devil. Amen. James 4:7, submit yourselves to God. You see, you can't do resisting if you're not submitted to God. What does it mean to be submitted to God? God, I'm totally submitted to you by choice. I submit to your word. I submit to all, everything written in your word. It's like those of us that have played sports. How much more enjoyable are the sports we've played because they have rules? Imagine there are no rules. It wouldn't be enjoyable. Those of you that love basketball, and I imagine one guy grabs the ball and starts knocking everyone open and kicking and gets a step ladder and throws it in. Okay, great, you scored 300 points, but no one enjoyed it. There's got to be rules. And the great thing with those rules, especially God's rules, they're there to protect us. Sometimes we think, why is God doesn't want me to do this? Because he wants to protect you. It's like with a kid. Kids, the reason why we don't let you eat donuts for breakfast, donuts for lunch, donuts for dinner, it's not healthy. We don't want you to ruin your body. We'll give you an occasional donut, but not every day. There's rules in our house. You have to wake up by a certain time to go to school. You have to go to school. You have to do your homework. You need to do this. You need to do that. It's to position you to be a success. And in the same way, God has his rules that are there not to control us, but to protect us. Job 22:28, you will also declare a thing and it will be established for you, so light will shine on your ways. So what do we do when the enemy comes in? The last thing. We use our authority, the authority God has given us. Luke 10:18, and he said to them, his disciples, this is Jesus speaking and we his disciples, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. We know you saw Jesus, you were the one that kicked him out. And behold, yes, Jesus, I give you, me, what are you going to give me? Authority. What is authority? Permission. Power. To do what, Jesus? To trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the devil, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. God has given us authority over the devil. Satan has a plan. God has a plan. But if we know what God's plan is, we're not going to let Satan's plan come into our school, come into our neighborhood, come into our community, come to harass us. Satan's like a little doggy. And we like, what's the most fearsome dog in the world? The Rottweiler, a bull, what? A pit bull. It's like, imagine, what's the smallest dog in the world? Now you have little Chihuahua. And then the pit bull is running away. It would be hilarious. But that's what happens with Christians. The devil snaps. No one likes you. You ugly. Oh no, I'm ugly. So ugly. We believe his lies. You're not going to amount to anything. Oh no, I'm not going to amount to anything. It's like, dude, read the Bible. You are blessed and highly favored. You are anointed and appointed. Before I formed you in your mother's womb, I purposed you to be a prophet to the nations. You are blessed going in, blessed going out, blessed in the city, blessed in the fields. I've given you power over all the power of the evil one. You will lay your hands on the sick and they will recover. You will cast out demons. You will preach the gospel. You'll disciple nations. I don't know about you, but when I actually read the Bible, I actually believe it. Call me ignorant. Call me naive. I don't care. But I'd rather believe that than the lie, because it's the truth. Amen. So Satan may try to con us, seduce us, trap us, but we're not going to fall for his lies. We're not going to fall for his traps. We can see his schemes. We can see his plans. And sometimes all of us, God will warn us, don't do that deal. Don't do that deal with that person. Don't give that person money. Don't date that girl. Don't date that guy. Oh, but he's so cute. He drives a Ferrari, Lord. He lives in Newport Coast, Lord. Don't work for that company. Oh, Lord, but it's such a big company. Don't do it. Work for that little company. I know they're only in a garage. I know they got a weird name, Amazonia, Amazon. The guy was a successful guy in New York and he started this internet thing and it's in a garage. And when someone goes and I want a book in the garage, the bell goes and then they get the book and then Steve, no, what's his name? Jeff. Packs it and takes it to the post office. And I know you want to invest in that, my friend. I don't know if it's a good investment, this Amazon thing. They're only in year one. You listen to the Lord. You read the word. You have wise counselors. And then you make a decision. And here's the litmus test. If it's successful, it was the Lord. But if it crashed and burned, you weren't listening to the Lord. Because God's ways are perfect. They said, I've only got 48 hours. I need to decide in 48 hours. I'm not sure what to do. What should I do? What did the Lord tell you to do? He hasn't spoken to me. Then don't do it. Don't do anything unless the Lord tells you to do it. And when the Lord tells you to do it immediately. Immediately. I remember in South Africa when the property we have in South Africa for our evangelism ministry, Save the World Foundation, Charlie found it, and when I went to see it, I'm like, oh my gosh, this is incredible. We don't have the money, but this is incredible. Well, Jared, do you want it? Yes, yes, definitely. We'll call Johan in America. I'm like, he's in Florida. It's like 5 a.m. Call him now. Make the commitment now. Hi, Johan, it's Jared. Sorry, it's 5 a.m. We want the property. Okay, okay, we'll make a plan. Okay, Jared, thank you. Because I knew the guy that was selling it. Because had I not decided, we were on our way to Swaziland for a 3-month campaign. While I was driving, the other guy, Lucifer, Satan, one of his minions, would have said, are you crazy? You don't have the money. And he might have talked me out of it. But because I made that declaration, we want the property, let's make it happen. God was like, I told you guys, he's got faith. He's got faith. I'm going to back him up. If you have faith, you will move mountains. Mountains. Guys, we have a 150-acre farm in South Africa we are about to possess. We're going to, it's going to happen in the next few weeks. Now, I can't tell you what the Lord has shown, what we're going to do afterwards. It will blow your minds. How are we going to do it? Faith. Faith is a currency of heaven. How are you going to start your business? Faith. How's your business going to grow? Faith. How are you going to meet the man of your dreams? Faith. How are you going to meet the woman of your dreams? Faith. How are you going to, how's that dream God spoke to you as a boy, little girl, or even recently, how's it going to happen? Besides obedience, faith. Do you really believe it? And if you really believe it, go to work and get it done. Faith without works is dead. If you really believe you're going to do that thing, start studying it. I don't know much about it. You better start studying. Watch every person that's ever done well in that area know that thing better than them. When the Lord said to me, as an evangelist, I want you to be on TV, I'm like, TV? I told our board members in South Africa, this is like 15 years ago. The Lord said, we're going to be on TV. Only one of my board members believed me. I knew nothing about TV other than I'd watched it my whole life. So I guess I am kind of an expert. My mother did own a video library store, and I pretty much watched every movie. But when he told me to do it, I started to educate myself. I started to look at, instead of just watching it and getting emotionally attached to it, okay, what are the angles they're using? Had to learn about color correction. The right music for the right scene. Do we use a wide angle, a narrow angle? How do you even edit? I said to the guys on my team, are there any editors here on my team? Knowing they're all evangelists. The one guy said, I know how to work on a computer. I said, you got the job. We're going to send you on an editing course. And he was actually a decent editor. He actually had a gift. And I'll never forget, we were in Cape Town, South Africa, in the Somerset West area. It's so beautiful. It's actually near our farm. And Lawrence, who had been in our family for like 50 years, he'd worked for my mom. When my mom was like 15, he joined working for my gran when he was like 18. So he'd been with us literally for like from 18, he was like 68. So literally he'd been in our family 50 years. And I'm like, okay, everyone's doing their job. We need someone on me on the main camera. So Lawrence, I know you're 68, but I'm putting you on the main camera. If I go left, pan left. If I go there, pan, okay? And I'm preaching. An evangelist like to move around. And I notice as I'm moving there, Lawrence is, he's not moving. And afterwards, I thought, okay, I better stand still and not move around. Lawrence, why weren't you following me? No, you were. I was. And this guy is like the funniest human that's probably ever lived. He's such a funny guy, great person. He said, no, I was following you. I'm like, no, dude, you weren't. He could only see like a few feet in front of him, unbeknown to me. He was nearsighted. So we had to send him to get his eyes tested. And he got glasses. And then he moved to the left and moved to the right. So I learned, whoever you put on camera, make sure they're not on their cell phone. Make sure they're not daydreaming. Because if you go left, it can be... We can't use that footage, right? Oh, I lost my train of thought. Amen. Let's close our eyes. Father God, thank you so much that we have you. You are our exceeding great reward. You are everything to us, Lord. We love you. Like the angels that stuck with you, we have decided there's no one else we would rather follow, no one else we'd rather worship, no one else we'd rather serve. You complete us, Lord. You are amazing. We love you. We adore you. And Jesus, thank you. Thank you so much for what you did on the cross. Thank you for dying for me. Thank you for dying for us. Thank you for humbling yourself, the King of heaven coming to earth to die in our place. We are forever grateful. And for a quadrillion years, we just want to worship you over and over and just thank you for your love that made it possible for us to go to heaven and to be with you and God for all eternity. And Lord, thank you that you've given us the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, thank you so much that you are in us and with us. Forgive us for what you have to see us do at times. Our actions, our behavior, our mindsets. Oh Lord, forgive us. Help us to flow in the revelation that we have the mind of Christ. Help us to see the traps that Satan has for us. Lord, we want to decree and declare that we are committed to you. Thank you for warning us. Lord, please bring the right people into our lives and take out those who are not meant to be in our lives. Please bring godly people into our lives to be our friends, and we can be their friends. Keep us from all evil, Lord. Let us not fall into temptation, Lord. Protect the young men and women. Protect us, older men and women, Lord God. Help us not to be deceived by any humans or any demons. Help us to be steadfast in your kingdom, Lord God. And Father, I pray for all the single ladies in our church. I pray, Father God, that you bring the right man of God into their lives to be their husbands. Mighty men of God who will love them, honor them, respect them, support them, be faithful to them, encourage them, be their best friend, to be an amazing father, And I pray for the single men, Lord, who want to get married, that you will bring an amazing woman of God into their lives, who will honor them, love them, respect them, appreciate them, speak life into them. And that they will be amazing mothers, Lord God. Natural mothers and even spiritual mothers, Lord. I pray for all the business people in our church, Lord God. If Satan has robbed them, deceived them, if they've lost money, right now, just say sorry, Lord. And he'll know who you are. Just say sorry, Lord, I messed up. And Lord, for all those that have been deceived or lost any money, any bad investments, anything like that, I pray, Father God, that you will restore to them sevenfold, according to your word. That you will restore not just what Satan has stolen, but over and abundant from what was lost. Open the windows of heaven for them, Lord. And Lord, I just pray for all the children that go to school or are homeschooled. I pray, Lord, that you give them incredible friends, incredible wisdom, that when they study, they will be like Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that were 10 times smarter than anyone, that when they listen to their teachings, when they read, they will comprehend what is being taught. Supernaturally, they will have supernatural memory, supernatural recall, and that they will be very successful, Father. I pray your blessing on every single person here today in the name of Jesus. Maybe you're here today and you've never made a decision to follow Jesus, or maybe you're watching us on TV or social media, you've never invited Jesus into your life. Maybe Satan deceived you, like me as a Jewish boy, into believing that he's not the Messiah. But today you've come to the realization. The Holy Spirit has convicted you. He's showing you that Jesus is the Messiah, that Jesus is the Son of God, that Jesus died on the cross, and you want to receive Jesus right now. While everyone's eyes are closed, no one looking around, if you want Jesus to come into your life, you want to invite him into your life, quickly put up your hand. Quickly, quickly put up your hand. If you want Jesus to come into your life. Even those watching us right now, you want Jesus to come into your life. Let's pray this prayer together, everybody. Say, Jesus, I believe in my heart that you are the Son of God. I believe in my heart that you died on the cross to take my sins away. I believe in my heart that you were buried and on the third day you rose from the dead and you are alive. And right now, I give my life to you. My spirit, my soul, and my body. Everything I have, everything I am, I give to you. Thank you, Jesus, for loving me. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hallelujah.